in St. Thomas and inconvenience to the many who have been flooded. In all this, we have to be thankful to Almighty God that He knows best in every situation, and that we are here among the living, that we are able to come out even this morning to worship God is a privilege. And we know that to be in the house of God is indeed a wonderful blessing. It is sort of like a gas station, where we get a chance to refill our tanks, on this, the first day of the week, as we embark on yet another journey, another opportunity to share the gospel, because we know that we are not all together. That even though we come out here and we are all dressed up and we are happy to see one another and we are smiling, that for all of us, things are not really smooth. We are conscious that for so many of us, we are sick and we really want a healing from Almighty God. And we pray and join in with the prayer that healing will come. For many of us, there are trying things that are affecting us, and we wonder how we're managing, but the Almighty God has carried us this far, and we trust that He will continue to take us through. We continue this morning to look at the subject that we began last week, love, not the world. And in our base text of 1 John chapter 2 that we spent some time looking at last week, 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 through 17, we got clear instructions from Almighty God. We are told not to love the world. And if we are to title today's lesson, even though it's on the same general theme, then we could affix to love not the world, spirit over flesh. So love not the world, spirit over flesh. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 to 17, it starts with the instruction stated in a negative way. Love not the world. Neither
the things that,
the
are,
things
in the
that
world.
Are in the world.
If any man
loves the world,
the love of the Father is not in him.
So if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Read.
For all that is in the world.
For all that is in the world.
The lust of the flesh.
The lust of the flesh, desires of the flesh.
And the lust of the eyes.
The lust or the desires of the eyes.
And the pride of life.
And the pride of life.
Is not of
the
Father.
These are not of God. These are not things that we can ascribe to the Father, the Son, nor the Holy Spirit. These
what
are
is of the world.
These are of the world. And then it goes on to say in verse 17,
and the world,
the world will pass away,
and the lust thereof.
And the lust, the desires of the world will pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we are told clearly that we should not love the world. And let us remind ourselves of the context. Because as Christians, we have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And at baptism, we were ushered into the family or the Church of Jesus Christ. But it does not mean that everything is now finished. We have the Christian journey to continue to travel through. And so when God, in his inspiration, tells us as Christians that we should escape, or that we have escaped the pollution of the world, of sin, but yet we are existing in this world, then what does God mean when he says and has this expectation of us that we should not love the world? And that's what we continue to explore. Last week, we examined some of the concepts concerning the word world. And we recognize that it ranged from the material world to the earth itself. Humanity is referred to as the world. You know, the lost persons who are not yet Christians are referred to as the world. And the concept of the world sort of embraces too the carnal man. And so we looked at that, where the carnal man, the worldly nature is hollow. It is frail, it is fleeting. And so we are told not to love the world. You know, we spent some time looking too at Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, where we're told that as Christians, we should deny some things. We should repudiate, refuse to accept, we should denounce, we should renounce, refuse to continue in certain things. You know, and I had a nice little chat with a dear brother, and he says, "Brother Webb, you know, I hope you would have said a little bit more on Titus," and we want to say a little bit more on Titus as we go along. And so we are at the junction now where we are saying, how do we reconcile the fact that we are in the world, but we should not love the world? And an understanding of these different uses of the word should put the word world should put us in a situation where we can better understand this. Now, we first of all want to look at the fact that worldliness is demonstrated in different ways as we interact and as we go through our sojourn. Remember, we're saying the world and worldliness, the worldly nature, is carnal. It is hollow. It is frail. It is fleeting. And we see this demonstrated in places like Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 following, where we are told that we should lay not up treasures on earth. Yes? So as we journey through this world, through this land in which we live, our focus and our emphasis should not be to lay up treasures on earth. You know, we are told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, that, well, let's have that one read, that we should not love, we have to be careful how we love money, how we yearn for wealth, because worldliness is demonstrated in things like that. We have it, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10.
But they that will be rich.
They that will be rich, read.
Fall into temptation and a snare.
So when we have this yearning, I want to be rich. You know, I want. This is a good recipe for us to get caught up in the world. Read on.
And into many foolish and hurtful lusts.
All right, so all kind of desires and that are hurtful to us when we pursue this route. Read on.
Which drown men in destruction.
It drowns men. Read.
In destruction and perdition.
Destruction follows. Read.
For the love of money.
For the love of money
is the root
of all evil. Read.
which while some coveted after.
So when we desire this so much, we covet, we yearn for it so much, what can happen?
They have erred from the faith.
You end up in error. You lose your way. And so we have to be careful. So we are saying worldliness is demonstrated in different ways. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, you know, remember the case of the man, and he's saying, you know, it's almost like he's saying to his spirit, to his soul, he's saying, you know, things are going well. You know, I'm going to take my ease. You know, I'm going to drink. I'm going to eat. I'm just going to be merry. And if that becomes our focus, then we are drawing into worldliness. And it is this, that Christ himself is saying to us through inspiration, that we should not love the world. And then somebody says, but Brother Webb, how can you be saying and teaching us that we should not love the world? Didn't Christ and God love the world? Eh? You know, our central texts of all texts. Eh? John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. So how is God contradicting himself? You know, is God saying that he loves the world, but we should not love the world? You know, isn't it the inspiration that tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8? He tells us, but God commendeth, he demonstrated, he showed his love towards us. Are you there?
But God commended his love towards us.
So God commended his love towards us. Us who? Same persons who were lost. And that's a rendition for the world, the lost.
Right.
So when God says that Christ and God showed, demonstrated his love to sinners.
In that, while we were yet sinners.
While we were yet sinners.
Christ died for us.
Christ died for us. So he demonstrated his love for the world and for sinners. So how is it? How can we reconcile this seeming dilemma where we are told not to love the world, but yet we see God and Christ loving the world deeply? You know, in fact, it was Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he says, you know, be followers of me even as I am a follower of Christ. You know, and Christ would have told us, you know, my Father and I, we are one. We are the same in purpose and aim. So why is it that we are being told not to love the world? Well, again, we always have to look at the context in which a word is used. And so our understanding of the fact that the word world is used in different ways, it does not always mean the carnal nature. When we see the word world, it does not always mean the world at large, nor the things of the world. And so we recognize that while we hate sin, and while we should not love the things of the world, and while we should not hold on to the worldly nature and worldliness, that we should love, like God, like Christ, the sinner. We should have a deep desire to want to save souls. You know, that's one of the things that as Christians we are called to do. It is not enough to save self, but we should always be alert to those who are not a part of the family of God. We should be alert to those who have not yet embraced the gospel of Christ and seek to save them from sin. Time will allow me later to talk a little bit more about this, because sometimes we get the impression that it's only the fornicator, the thief, the murderer that needs salvation. But we should be conscious that anybody who is not pleasing God, who is not obedient to the word of God, is a sinner, is a part of the world that needs saving. And we as Christians should seek ways, active ways, to bring them to Christ. But let me transition into where I want to spend the majority of our time this morning, in terms of the spirit over flesh. Because we would have seen that worldliness is demonstrated in different ways. We made reference to laying up treasures on earth, the loving of money, you know, the way we view the soul. And I'm here to say to us that these things, yes, are good, quote unquote. Because to save up something is a wise thing. It is not a good thing for us to get a good amount of earning today and we just spend it off today. It is important that we lay some aside. We treasure up some. We put some away for a rainy day. All right, and I remember that story about Mr. Rainy Day. But let me not go there today. But it is a good thing to put away something. Because, you know, didn't we see it with Joseph? Where God in his wisdom placed Joseph in Egypt at a particular time of plenty, so that in wisdom he could store corn in the time of plenty, because a time of famine would come. Yes, that's wise. But it is important that we do not see this as the end all, that this not become our driver, where we are saving at the expense of giving our collection. But God, if I give all of this money for collection, what may happen 3 months down the line if COVID now ease up? Eh? Where is our focus? We are not even saying that having money is a bad thing. The having of money and wealth is a great tool, but we should not love it to the point where it becomes our central and our focused attention. God is not saying in the illustration of Luke 12 with that rich man that says, I'm going to now take it easy, I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. God is not saying that we should not have merriment. God is not saying that I'm going to starve myself. I'm not going to enjoy myself. Yes, enjoy ourselves. But let us not do that at the expense of our Christian lives. Spirit over flesh. As I still try to make the transition into that point, I go back to the point that God loves the world. And we too should love the world. You know, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, an important concept is shown. And Christ draws on a relationship or some relationships that are very close and intimate. And he says in verse 37,
he that loveth father or mother.
He that loves father
or mother.
Or mother.
More than me.
More than me.
Is not worthy of me.
Is not worthy of me. Stop there for a while. So remember, we are still talking about love. Love not the world, says inspiration. But then we recognize that God loves the world, that Jesus loves the world. And now Jesus is talking and he says, you must not love these more than. More than. More than. And so what we start seeing here is that it is all relative. It is not that we should not love our mothers. It is not that we should not love our fathers. It is not that we should not love our brothers and our sisters, our sons and our daughters. But we should love God more than these. And so what becomes our priority? Yes, save up. But don't save up at the expense of God. Don't save up at the expense of your Christianity and the work of the Lord. Yes, eat, drink, and have merriment. But as you eat, drink, and have merriment, don't do so at the expense of your Christian life. Because God should take first place. Give God more love than these things. Because, you know, the other verse also spoke about son and daughter. Did it? Read.
And he that loveth son or daughter.
He that loves son.
Or daughter.
Or daughter.
More than me.
More than. You see the more than again?
Yes.
In this one verse. Is one verse? The same yes, verse 37?
Same verse.
The same verse. We are seeing this concept of more than coming up multiple times. And so this type of relationship, or these relationships that we are seeing about, these are very close relationships. You know, love mother more than. Love mother more than. You know, we love mother so much that even on Father's Day, sometimes, you know, you hear people saying, yeah, my mother who fathered me. You know, type of thing. We love our mothers. And rightly so. They nurtured us. And even when we come into this world, they continue to nurture us. And don't underestimate the father thing too, you know. We love our fathers, you know. You know, we have situations where the fathers are less than desirable in the way they behave and how they take care of their children. But you know, children love their father. Hey man, why when the father worthless, they love him. But God is saying, put God first. More than. You know, I was tempted to say a little bit more. But let me say it, because we have young people, you know. Let me put it this way. We have younger persons than I. You know, realize I'm getting bigger, talking about young people. I said, no, we're not young people. Yeah. I realize I'm getting a little bit older than, you know, a few years ago because, you know, the first time I used to go and you interact with certain persons and I said, yes, I'm a brethren, you know. And, you know, relatively big persons, you know, now them start to say, uncle, you know, you realize, you're like, you know, and if them little younger, them say, daddy, and I say, All right, so. But as young people growing up in the church, can I say this to us? What Christianity guides us in is a wonderful thing. Where we become fathers and parents in the Lord. And that we find ourselves in situations where we get married and we have our family, our children, in a normal home. When it is that we just start having family outside without getting married and having commitments, it's a dangerous thing. Yes, is it? It's not an ideal situation. And so when we find ourselves in the church, young people, let us strive to start our family in the church. Let us try not to step out. Because in the best of intentions, it sometimes and oftentimes go awry. Because then you get into the situation where another family is formed. And the father, with all his good intentions, has to stretch that fund, that little fund sometimes, over multiple households. So when the one money could come in and everybody go and juggle out of the one pot, now that money has to be spread all over the place. So with the best of intentions, and when you want the best for your child in terms of an education, but because the money has to stretch all over, then certain school fees can't pay. Extra lessons can't be taken care of. So it puts stress. All right, I'm going to stop. But you get the picture. Let us put it in. Let us try. You know, the temptations are there. That's a real thing. But let us try to follow the precepts of Jesus Christ. As hard as it might be, as challenging as it may be, as luring as it may be, let us try to keep focused. But astray, and I hope I can catch up back. Because the point I want to make is that the relationships that are being spoken of here are relationships that are very close to us. And even when we find ourselves in situations where we have fathers who are less than desirable, guess what? We still have a special love for Father. And how we praise and feel nice about our fathers when we know that they are stepping up to the plate. And what a good feeling we have when we see our children look up in admiration and respect. And when you recognize that your steps and your action need to be one that is also straight, because you are guiding, because you become that book that they are looking at. You know, right in our midst, you know, one of our brothers wrote a book. And the name of the book slipped me. Well, something like Be Bold, or that. Be Defiant. And, you know, in the prelude of the book, what drove it was to positively influence a son. A brother has recently written another book, Brother Paul Blake. And it's the same thing, you know, guiding a son. And so we recognize that relationship, father and son, is one that is very important. And do I dare talk about our children? That type of relationship with our children? Very close. So close that you have to dig deep sometimes to take a stand. Because it's my son. It's my daughter. And so sometimes we are challenged when we see situations. Is this the action that I should take? Why? because I love the child. And sometimes because we love the child, our son, our daughter, then sometimes we have to take tough stands so that they can learn and develop to be the type of persons that they should be. So these relationships that we see here that demonstrates love is no foo-foo relationship. Yeah, it's no pian-pian relationship. These are real things. Because many of us will give up our souls for our children. But what the passage says?
More than.
Yeah, I'm still at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. We have to love God more than mother. We have to love God more than father. We have to love God more than son. We have to love God more than daughter. No, it don't even read spouse. Yeah. I'm straying too much. I'm going off on tangents. But should I still go there?
Yes.
So sometimes when we are interacting with and trying to help couples, let us be very careful. Inexperienced me telling you that. Be very careful when you are helping couples in challenge. Listen more than talk. Yes, make suggestions. Yes, give them things to think about. Challenge where they are in their thinking at a particular time. But be very careful how you tell them what to do. Be very careful how we fuel the fire that exists at a particular time. Because I've seen couples in challenge, and when they make up, you who think you are being their best friend now become their enemy because you are helping to tear them apart. And when head touch pillow and things reconcile, you now find yourself as the deviant one, the wicked one, the one that's pulling away. What is the point though? Whatever the relationship, as close and as tight as it is, don't ever put it above God. Be prepared to take a stand against spouse, husband, well, spouse, husband, wife, children, mother, father. Put God first. More than. And this now helps me to segue into the concept of spirit over flesh. Where I want to go in the lesson, that will continue, not necessarily next week, but some other time, that it is not that there is nothing important about the flesh, but it should always be spirit over flesh. It is not that in our sojourn through life we should not be concerned about the things in time. That means while we are on earth, but it should be eternity over time. And I'm placing the emphasis on the over, moving from the concept of more than. So just as how we should love but not love anything more than God. It's the same way that we should not love the flesh more than spirit. It's the same way we should not love time and care about the temporary things over the lasting, eternal things. It's the same way that as we explore and take care of the outward, but we should not do so over the inward. It's the same way that we should take care of self, but God tells us that we should love Him more. We should even honor others more. But for the remaining of the lesson, I want to talk about flesh and spirit. And to say that it should be spirit over flesh. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it tells us that fleshly lusts, fleshly desires, wars against the soul. Fleshly desires, it wars against the soul, the spirit. Because we, brethren, are not all about the flesh. Yes, there's a fleshly part to us. Yeah, so in a sense, we are like the dogs. Yes, in a sense, we are like the donkey and the cow. But there's more to us than that. There's a part of us that is called the soul, the spirit, that is eternal in nature. And so we cannot just go through life feasting and dealing and paying attention to the things concerning the flesh, because there's something eternal about us. While we have flesh, we are also spirit. And I'm saying, as inspiration has guided us, that while we are flesh, we should take more and place more attention to the spirit. Let it be spirit over flesh. In Romans chapter 8, passage read by Brother Wilson earlier, verse 4 following, we are told, walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. As we sojourn through our lives, yes, we are now Christians, but as we sojourn, let us not place emphasis, let us not place more focus on the flesh than that of the spirit. Walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. That's what it says. Read it, because people couldn't think it's me making it up.
That the righteousness that's
the start of verse 4. Yeah. Read.
That the righteousness of the law.
That the righteousness of the
law might be fulfilled in
us. Yes, read.
Who walk not after the flesh.
Who walk not after the flesh.
But after the
spirit. But after the spirit. Read on.
For they that are after the flesh.
So the passage now goes on to explain and to give some implication and the end result of what happens when we walk after the flesh versus when we walk after the spirit. And it says, they that walk after the flesh
do mind things of the flesh.
So, and that is it. When we are flesh focused, when we are about the here and now focus, then we are going to mind and give attention to those things. Where is your priority? Do you put God first, or is He the after? More than is saying, give Him the first place. Give Him the priority. Read on.
But they that are after the Spirit
All right, so he's giving us the contrast, flesh and spirit. They that are after the spirit, what?
The things of the spirit.
They will mind the things of the spirit. So that becomes the focus. Read on.
For to be carnally minded.
So to be carnally minded, and we already established that that is worldly and temporal. It is tied to the flesh. Yes?
Is death.
Is death. So when we are fleshly, the end result is death, separation from the Almighty God. The end result is death. Read on.
But to be spiritually minded.
To be spiritually minded. Are you seeing the contrast? I should have been using the board. Flesh is death. Spirit, all right, that, you're paying attention to me now? When we talk about death, I'm going to reach out here. When I talk about spirit, I'm going to reach out here. All right. I'm going to get tired. All right, let's go. So we saw that flesh is death. But spirit is?
Life and
life.
Peace.
It is?
Peace.
Peace. Read on. Don't stop, man.
Because the carnal mind.
Because the carnal mind, we're talking about the flesh, the carnal mind
is enmity.
Is enmity
against God.
Is enmity against God. You know, when we talk about enmity, it sounds like enemy, and it's not a far-stretched thought. It's the same concept. When we are of the flesh, when the focus is on the flesh, we're going to find that we become the enemy of God. There becomes a polar rift. When that becomes our priority and our focus. And so I'm saying, brethren, when we say, and when the scripture says, love not the world, it is saying, spirit over flesh. It was finished? Continue reading.
For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Come over here, sir. That is flesh. So when it is that we are pursuing the flesh, it is what? Not subject to God. Read on.
Neither there indeed can be.
So it cannot, can't be. But when we are following the Spirit, when we are led and we are giving the priority to the things spiritual, then we are subject to God. Read on.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Those who are in the flesh
cannot please God.
Cannot please God. When our priority is about me, about things fleshly, then we cannot please God. Should I take care of me? Yes. But not more than the spiritual. We are triune. We are multifaceted. And if we're just feeding the flesh, and if we are putting more emphasis on the body, then we cannot please God. Love not the world. Spirit over flesh. Let me move on. Let us look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But don't miss where we are. We are trying to understand how is it that we are living in a world, and God is telling us that we should not love the world. And I hope that we are getting the picture. It's not that we should have no love. In fact, we should be people of love. But it should be the priority being things spiritual, not things of the world. And in Galatians chapter 5, 16 following, we get another good contrast similar to what we saw in Romans. And in verse 16 it says,
this I say then.
This I say then.
Walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit.
And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill what?
The lust of the flesh.
The desires, the lusts, the wants of the?
Flesh.
Of the flesh. Are we seeing the contrast again? Start reading again.
This I say then.
This I say then.
Walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit.
And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So it is spirit and flesh. And we are saying spirit over flesh. When we love not the world, then we would have been giving priority to the spirit and not to the flesh. In fact, we get a picture of what the flesh focus leads to. But note that the spirit focus and the flesh focus are contrary. You can't have them going together. You know, in another passage it says, you can't love God and Mammon. You can't have the two of them as priority. One must have priority over the other. They are contrary one to another. That's what verse 16 has said to us clearly. You know, continue reading.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit.
Because the flesh is going to want the first place. That's a natural inclination.
And the spirit.
And the spirit.
The flesh.
Wants to take first place over the flesh. They are contrary. They are at fight. They are at war. One to another.
And these are contrary. The one to the other.
They are contrary. One to another. Don't get it mixed up. Because the devil has played a trick on us. You know? Telling us you can have your cake and eat it. Telling you, yes, you can't put them both as priority, but one is going to take the first place. And we are saying, let it be spirit over flesh. Spirit over flesh. Read on.
So that he cannot do the things that he would.
Yeah, have we had this struggle? Have we had this struggle? I really want to serve God.
Amen. Amen.
I want to. I want to be more evangelistic.
Yeah.
I don't want that there's any member in the church that is not well, and I can't reach out to them in a real way. Yeah. That's what I yearn for. I want to be here every time there is worship. I don't want to miss a lesson. I want to review the lesson. But then there are things that just pull at us. We are being drawn and pulled and influenced by friends, co-workers, neighbors, family. There is a pull. There's a pull. But what the passage says, pick up back.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit.
They are struggling and competing. Read.
And the spirit against the flesh.
Yes.
And these are contrary the one to the other.
Yes.
So that he cannot do the things that he would.
That's the point. You don't do the things that you would. The things that we want to do, we don't really do them. Why? There's a struggle. We are all in that struggle. You know. There's a passage in Romans where Paul had that struggle. That which I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I find, I do. That's a struggle. We all face that struggle. Remember how we had framed the lesson. We have started the journey with Christ. Yes, we have been baptized. Yes, we are now starting that renewed life with Christ. But we are not out of the woods. And so that which we would do, we find that we don't do it. Why? There is a struggle. The spirit and the flesh are at war. I need to be winding up the lesson. Can we take a jump down to verse 19? You weren't there yet. When we look at some of the manifestations of the flesh, then we see some things. Read on.
Now the works of the flesh.
Now the works of the flesh
are manifest.
Are shown in this way.
Which are these?
Yes.
Adultery.
Adultery.
Fornication.
Fornication.
Uncleanness. Uncleanness.
Uncleanness, yes.
Lavishiousness.
Lavishiousness.
Idolatry.
Idolatry.
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
Hatred.
Hatred.
Variance.
Variance.
Emulations.
Time will not allow us to talk about what these are. These are studies in themselves, and I challenge you always. Understand what these different things are, because sometimes we take out a few and say these are sins. And then there are so many others that we don't see as things fleshly.
Amen.
In fact, some of the things that are fleshly, if you're not careful, we start thinking that those things are spiritual. You know? But finish reading it for completeness.
Emulations.
Emulation.
Wrath.
Wrath.
Strife.
Strife.
Seditions.
Even strife. You know, we tend not to see this as any big thing, you know. As anything fleshly.
True.
Read.
Seditions.
Seditions.
Here it says.
Here it says.
Envies.
Let me pause a little and here it says. Pause. Okay, let's move on. Read on.
Envies.
Envying.
Murders.
Wait. Envies. Can I pause a little on envies?
Amen.
Envying.
Amen.
All right, I paused long enough. Read on.
Murders.
Murders.
Drunkenness.
Drunkenness.
Revelings.
Reveling.
And such like.
And you know what Paul do? Paul covers himself. Paul says, it don't really stop there, you know. He said, and such likes.
Etc.
And so we see that these are the ways that the flesh manifests itself, not only with murder and fornication and thief, but envying, strife, those things. These are things of the flesh too. These are things that are at fight same way, wanting priority. In fact, sometimes some of these things that we put as low, as not really so fleshly, these are the things that are most dangerous. But let's quickly jump to fruits of the Spirit. Verse 22. Well, finish verse 21. Last. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the consequence. So it's not that, I did not take this on, so it's all right. No, it is that you will lose your soul. You won't be a part. You won't be ushered into the kingdom of God, eternal existence with God. But
the fruit of the Spirit.
But the fruit of the Spirit
is love.
Is love.
Joy.
It's joy.
Peace.
It's peace.
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering.
Gentleness.
Goodness.
And faith.
Meekness.
Temperance. Against such there is no law.
When you talk about these things, nothing can hold you back. But these are the manifestation and the fruits of the Spirit. Can I close off by tying back this to Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12 highlights to us that when we take on Christianity, when we come into relationship with God, we should not be passive. It should not be a shrugging off of our belief, but it should be a repudiation, a renouncing of the world. Read for me. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12.
Teaching us that.
Teaching us.
Denying ungodliness.
That denying ungodliness.
And worldly lust.
And worldly lust.
We should live soberly, righteously. Well,
stop. What is the point? Flesh against spirit. When we take on Christianity, it is one thing to deny. It is one thing to refuse to accept false teaching, bad practices. It is one thing to renounce and to refuse to continue. But there is a flip side. There is the other side. So deny what? Ungodliness and
worldly
lust. Worldly desires. What are we talking about? Love not the world. So we should actively deny. We should repudiate. We should renounce. We should refuse . But as the passage continues, it says something more to us. It says,
we should live soberly.
So, beyond denying, beyond refusing, beyond renouncing, we should do some positive thing. That we should what?
Live soberly.
We should live a particular way. We should live soberly. We should live
righteously.
Righteously.
And godly. In this.
We should live godly when we get to heaven.
In this present world.
In the next present world. That's what it says? In the next present world? In this present world, in this world that we are living in right now, in this world, as we sojourn, we should actively do some things. We should live soberly. We should live righteously. We should live godly. You know, when we become Christians, we give up some things. But it is not sufficient for us to just stop being a non-Christian. But when we become Christians, it demands things of us. We need to put on some positive things. Isn't that what we saw in both Romans and Galatians? Where it was not just that we get rid of the flesh, death and enmity against God, and be not subject to God. But then, on the contrast, we should now do something positive. We should have life and peace, and we should be subject to God. We should please God. And in Galatians, it's not just that we should put away the things of the flesh, but it is that we should embrace the fruits of the Spirit. So we should nurture, we should develop and cultivate in ourselves that type of attitude that befits one who is spiritual. Befits one who is saying, spirit over flesh. It should be that we should want to live in the spirit and walk in the spirit. Is that what Galatians chapter, the same Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, summed it all up and said, if we live in the spirit, yes, Christians, we got the spirit when we became Christians. We got the gift of the spirit. And if we live in the spirit, says verse 25, then let us walk in the spirit. That's what it says. Read it for me as I close.
If we live,
read it quickly.
In the spirit,
if we live in the spirit,
let us also walk in the spirit.
In the spirit. Let us walk in the spirit. As we love not the world, let it be spirit over flesh. Let it be that as we walk through this journey, that we walk with the spirit and not after the flesh. If you are in the hearing of my voice and you have not obeyed the gospel that I'm saying to us, that you don't even start walking yet. But you can start doing that today. You'd have heard about the love of God for the world and what he was prepared to do, sending his son. Believing that, you can make a change today in repentance. You can confess, choose to profess him and not deny him in confession. You can today come in unison with God and Christ in baptism. In his death, burial, and resurrection, you too can be immersed to rise in newness of life. And then you can start walking after the Spirit. Spirit over flesh, loving not the world. We invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation. And as the song is sung, it is a perfect time for you to change your walk